Tonight I'm going to preach a message entitled Grace for Grace. My text verse is that one we read from John chapter 1, verse 16, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Grace for grace. What does that mean, grace for grace? When you go home tonight, I want you to understand what it means, and I want you to go home rejoicing how good God is. I want you to go home praising God and saying, our God sure is good. Hey, and Adam, I forgot to tell you, I need some junior church money. Can you get me some junior church money? And I am not that part to my message, but I'll need some in just a second. In verse 14, we read, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That Word that was made flesh was Jesus. The only begotten of the Father was Jesus. And that verse tells us that he is full of grace and truth. I want you to think about those two words. I want you to think about the word grace. I want you to think about the word truth. Just lay it right there on the platform. That will be good. So think about those two words. Grace. An acrostic says grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It's unmerited favor. And whenever I think of the word grace, I always think of the word mercy. The two go together. Mercy is not getting something that we deserve. If a child misbehaves, they deserve to be punished. A parent shows mercy by not punishing them, by giving them another chance. God showed great mercy to us because when we were sinners, we deserved the punishment of God to be separated from him forever and ever. And yet he showed us mercy in that he gave us time to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, gave us time to be saved. And so we get mercy from God, but we also get grace. If mercy is not getting something we deserve, grace is getting something that we don't deserve. So going back to my parent-child example, if your mom and dad tell you tonight, hey, we're going to Dairy Queen on the way home, that's grace. Something you don't deserve. And you might suggest that to them, to stop and get you an ice cream. The grace of God is that he sent his only begotten son to die in our place. He gave us something that we didn't deserve. Who of us deserved that the son of God, the only begotten son, would come and die for our sins? Who of us would deserve that Jesus would go to the cross and suffer what he suffered to pay for our sins? There ain't none of us good enough. Again, it may not be good English, but it's good preaching. There ain't none of us good enough that deserved that the Son of God would go to Calvary, pay for our sins, die in our place. So grace, unmerited favor, getting something that we don't deserve. And then truth. What is truth? Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We read here that the Word was made flesh, and the Word of God is truth. And whenever I think about truth, I always compare it to untruth. I compare it to Satan. If Jesus is truth, then Satan is a lie. We know the Bible tells us that Satan is the father of all lies. And that verse says that Jesus is full of both grace and truth. Grace and truth. Well, if that's true, why didn't he say in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the grace, and the life? He didn't put grace in that verse. He just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I submit to you tonight that this one who is full of both grace and truth uses grace. Grace for grace, and you'll see I'm going to illustrate it for you in just a second, but he uses grace for grace and gives us grace for grace to lead us to the truth. Grace for grace to lead us to the truth. Now, I'm going to illustrate this tonight. So, Brother Nick, would you come and stand right here for me? And Brother Steve, would you come and stand right here? And Jameson, you come and you stand right here just for a second, okay? You guys stand up there just for a second. So here's what happens. Jameson is going to represent all of us. All of us are born with a sin nature. We get that nature from our parents, and we're born with a sin nature. And so Jameson was born with a sin nature. Step down one step there, bud. Okay, no, just step right there, okay? When he reaches the age of accountability, you say, what age? What's the age of accountability? It's different for every person. But when he reaches the age that he can tell the difference between right and wrong, okay? When he reaches that age, and he's facing a decision, facing a choice, and he knows, if I choose this, this is right. If I choose this, this is wrong. I mean, it may be a simple situation where his mom says, don't do this. And he knows if he does it, that's wrong because mom said not to do it. If he doesn't do it, that's right because mom said not to do it. When he gets to the age where he can tell the difference between right and wrong, and he chooses wrong, then his sin nature has blossomed and he has become a sinner. Okay? And again, sin is not a hard concept to understand. A lot of people try to make sin more complicated than it is. Sin is doing something God says not to, or not doing something God says to do. And so when he reaches that age, he can tell the difference between right and wrong. He chooses to do wrong. His sin nature has blossomed in and made him a sinner. And in that sin, he knows no better. I mean, the Bible says that we are bound by sin. It just comes and wraps us up. And that we are dead in our sin. And Satan comes to us. And here, and Satan tells us lies. Satan says, hey, you're okay just like you are. You don't need to worry about anything. I mean, you're going to live and you're going to die. And that's all there is. There's nothing after life. And so you just go ahead and live your life any way that you want. Now, we're going to let Nick represent truth, and we're going to let Steve represent lie. Maybe I should have you guys switch places. Oh, no, that's all right. So sin has Jameson all wrapped up. And sin, in the form of Satan, is telling him a bunch of lies. And so he is facing toward untruth, and the devil is telling him, hey, you're all right just like you are. You don't need to worry about anything else. Just go ahead and live your life, have fun, enjoy yourself, and when life is over, it's over. But then Jesus comes. All those are the lies of the devil. Jesus comes with truth. And the truth is, hey, there's more to life than life. You're going to live forever somewhere. You're either going to live in heaven or in hell. And it does make a difference what you believe. You're all wrapped up in sin now, but if you will turn and look toward truth, the Bible says the truth will make you free. Here's the truth. You are a sinner. The wages of sin is death. And if you don't turn and accept the truth, if you don't believe on Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell and live forever and ever and ever. Oh, by the way, I got to stop and tell you something. I got some sad news for you. We will never be a mega church. Bev gave me an article today about how whatever station Jack Van Impe was on, they kicked him off. Won't let him. And he had in the article, there was some advice from somebody about what you have to do to be a mega church. I found it kind of interesting. They said, you never have to preach against sin. I thought to myself, well, that counts us out. They said, you have to redecorate the auditorium to make it look like a nightclub or a casino. Well, that lets us out. They said, you never give an invitation. I said to myself, well, I guess I better tell everybody we got no hope of being a mega church because we ain't going to do any of those things. So here, I just thought I'd throw that in tonight. So here, sin has Jameson all wrapped up. the truth comes and says, there is a hell, and the wages of sin is death, and unless you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to go to hell and live apart from God forever and ever and ever. So here's the truth. He's heard Satan's lie, but he hears the truth, and he acts on that truth and asks Jesus to save him. Now, when he gets saved, is he full of truth? Huh? No, not yet. He's heard some. He's heard enough. I mean, God gave him faith. The Bible says that God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. When people tell you, I don't have enough faith to be saved, they don't know their Bible. Because the Bible says God has given to every man a measure of faith. Enough faith to believe the truth that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for us. So Jameson accepted that truth, but he's not full of truth yet. He is on a journey toward truth. He is on a journey that if he keeps on this journey, he will learn more and more truth. Now, Satan hadn't given up on him yet. Satan would like to still tell him lies and say, now look, I know you got saved, but that's all you got to do. You don't need to listen to God about anything else. I mean, and he'll tell us lies about everything. Satan will tell us lies about our marriages. He'll tell us lies about our children. He'll tell us lies about our money. He'll tell us lies about everything in our life. What he's trying to get us to do is turn back and look toward him. Look toward the lies. But if Jameson is going to do right, he's got to keep looking toward the truth. Because he's been set free from sin by the truth, but he needs to keep progressing, he needs to keep journeying, he needs to keep traveling toward the truth. And that's where grace for grace comes in. God gets us to make this journey from where we are to truth by giving us grace for grace. Grace for grace. I'll tell you what that means in just a second. I want to make 6 points. You guys just stay right there for a second. I want to make, five points tonight about this journey toward truth. About this journey toward truth. All right, here's point number one. The direction you are headed is more important than where you are. The direction you are headed is more important than where you are. I would rather have Jameson, and God would rather have Jameson right here, headed in this direction, than he would to have him over here, headed in this direction. You say, but preacher, he's nearer to the truth over here than he was over here. Yeah, but he's headed in the wrong direction. He's got his face pointed toward the lie. And I would rather have him over here. I got much time, so you got to move fast. Over here, headed in this direction, than I would over here, headed in this direction. All right? You remember Lot? Stay right here. You remember Lot? He was with his uncle Abraham. And Abraham, they had some dispute between their herdsmen. And Abraham said, hey, we be brethren, let's don't fight. You choose what direction you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. So Lot looked around. He looked all around. You're just like your dad. Stay out of my preaching. All right? He looked all around. And the Bible says that he cast his eyes toward the city of Sodom, the well-watered plains of Sodom. And he looked at Sodom. He said, I can make a good living by going in that direction. And so what happened? He looked towards Sodom. The Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. The next thing we find him living in Sodom. And the next thing we find him, a ruler of Sodom, setting it at the gate. I mean, looking in the wrong direction, looking toward the lies of the devil, will mean that we'll get deeper and deeper and deeper into those lies and live our life in such a way that doesn't please God. So, the direction you are facing is more important than where you are. Again, God would much rather have us here looking in that direction than he would over here looking in this direction. Okay? Point number two. We won't make it from here to there in one single step. We don't get from here to there in one just giant step. I mean, we start this journey. The truth of God frees us from the bondage of sin. And we're not going to get all the way over here in one step. It's not going to happen. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, we don't expect a little baby to take care of themselves when they're 1 or 2 years old. They have to grow. And so it is with us as we are in this journey toward truth. You see, when we get saved, God doesn't open up our head, take out a bucket of truth, fill it all up, and put our head back on. It doesn't work like that. We have to learn truth, a truth at a time. If God did that, we couldn't take it. We have to learn truth, a truth at a time. And so sometimes we get impatient with ourselves. Sometimes other people get impatient with us. Sometimes Satan comes to us and says, hey, you've been saved 3 months and you haven't done anything for God. Why don't you just turn around and look in my direction? We need to understand that we're not going to make this journey, we're not going to make this trek in one step. That God teaches us a principle at a time. A little here, a little there, a precept here, a precept there, a concept here, a concept there. And he proves it to us over and over and over, a little bit at a time. Okay? Number three. And this is where the grace for grace comes in. This is where John 1:16 comes in. And of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. Here's what God does to keep us moving in that direction. He gives us grace for grace. I mean, we got grace. Jameson got grace when the bondage of sin was broken. And as we make this journey, God keeps giving us grace for grace, so we'll keep moving in that direction. Now, I'm going to illustrate it just because it's easy for you to understand using some junior church money. This is the money we pass out in junior church when people come and bring their Bibles, and then we have a story every so often. So I'm going to be God. These dollars represent grace. Jameson has a dollar. He has a blessing of God in his life. Maybe it's just salvation. Maybe that's the only part of grace that he understands. And God says, Jameson, I have two pieces of grace. Will you trade your one piece of grace for my two pieces of grace? Will you? Okay. And so he gets a little bit more grace. And maybe it's the grace that God trades him, says, hey, now you've been saved. You had one. Here, give me my two back. He says, you've been saved. You have a grace that got you saved. Now, if you'll trust me, I'll give you peace in your life. He doesn't lose his salvation, but God gives him more grace. He's got twice as many as he had before. And God says, you'll take that next step, move a little bit more toward truth, and I will give you peace in your life. And then God comes back. How many you got now? Two. How about if I give you four? Will you trade your two for my four? Okay? And God comes again. Does he deserve any of this? No, he's still a sinner saved by grace, but he doesn't deserve the peace of God. God says, okay, now you've been saved. I've given you peace in your life. I'll give you joy. I'll give you joy. And he takes that joy from God, doesn't lose his salvation, doesn't lose his peace. God has just given him grace. For more grace for grace. He's giving him more grace, and he's moving him more toward truth. And that's how it works. We get grace for grace to keep on this journey to keep moving. Now, Satan still hadn't given up. Satan still wants him to turn around and believe a lie and say, oh yeah, God's promised you peace. What about all this bad stuff that's happening in your life? You lost your job, your car quit running, your washing machine broke down. How can God say that he loves you? Where's the peace and joy in that? And you know what the Bible says? When Satan comes to us with a lie like that, what do we need to say? We need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And you know what? Sometimes the only way that you can get Satan behind you is turn your back on him. Did you ever stop and think about that? Sometimes the only way that you can get Satan behind you is to turn your back from listening to the lies that he tells you. I mean, he'll say, "Now look, how can God really love you? How can he say that he's given you peace and joy? You feel bad all the time. I mean, you're discouraged, and what's the use of going on? Just quit." And again, we need to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And sometimes, again, the way to do that is just to turn your back on the lies, turn your face toward the truth, and listen to the truth. And this goes on our whole Christian life, our whole journey. How many you got now? Four? So God comes, "Hey, I got some more grace I want to give you. I'll trade you eight for your four. What do you think?" All right? And he takes another step toward truth. He's learning that God always tells the truth. He's learning that Satan always lies. He's getting grace for grace. And he's, "Don't you trust me? I see you counting it. Okay." You and your dad just mess up my illustrations all the time. Let me have my money back. But here's the point. That's how God works. Grace for grace. He gets us to move more toward truth by giving us more grace. And what we need to do is keep our eyes on the truth, our eyes on Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes we're tempted to look back. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, Satan will still come and tell you lies. He'll still come and try to get you discouraged. He'll still come and try to get you to quit. He'll come to you and say, "Oh, you're useless for God. You messed up. God can't use you anymore." Look, if you're still on this earth and you're a Christian, it means God can use you. It means God's got something for you to do. And so we need to keep our eye on truth and keep moving in that direction. Okay, thank you guys. You can go back and sit down. All right, I got two more points. I got 2 minutes, so I'm gonna hurry. Number four, grace establishes penalties for doing wrong. When Jameson is on this trip, and God loves him so much that he's making this journey toward truth, if he steps out of bounds, if he turns and looks back, God punishes. "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." And God, sometimes when the chastening of God comes, people say, "Well, God must be mad at me." He's not mad at you. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to stay on this straight and narrow path. He wants you to keep making this journey toward truth. And when we step out of bounds, he smacks us to get us back on this way toward truth. And then the fifth point, as I close tonight, we're on this journey together. Let's brag on one another. Let's brag on one another. I see Lynn walking her journey. I see her take another step of faith. I see her trade grace for grace. And I notice it, and I say, "Lynn, nice job. You're getting closer to the truth. You're getting closer to the Son of God." And how does that make her feel? Says, "Yeah, like that, Shaylin, exactly. It makes her feel like that. Hey, somebody noticed. It's going to be harder for her to step out of line because she knows somebody's watching her. Somebody's watching her enough to compliment her. Somebody's watching enough to brag on her, and it's going to keep her moving in that direction. And so let's notice other people in their journey. Let's brag on them." You know, we had four couples this morning that I think, if I remember the numbers right, all together, 164 years of marriage. I dare say if you went to any of them and you asked the question, "What was your greatest year of marriage?" your greatest year of marriage. Now, if Ed knows what he's doing, here's what he's going to say. This year. Amen? That's what you were going to say, right, Brother Ed? Yeah, I know. He's going to say, this year. And it is. This year is the greatest year that these two will be married. This year is the greatest year that Leonard and Candy will be married. Who else? This year will be the greatest year that Terry and Becky will be married. Brother Tom sung a song a couple Wednesday nights ago. That, and I want to use it to close with my message, because this is the truth. This is what I'm trying to get across to you. As you make this journey, as you get closer and closer to truth, the longer you serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer you serve Him, more grace He bestows. And that's my point tonight. We were freed from the lies of Satan that had us wrapped up in sin. We were dead in our sin. But the truth came and set us free. We started on a journey to get more of that truth. He gives us grace for grace to keep us moving in that direction. And the more you keep moving in that direction, the more you want to. Because the more of the Savior you see, the more of Him you want. The more of the truth you understand, the more you want. And so the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Grace for grace. That's what keeps us moving toward truth. If you're here tonight and you're still over here, you're still wrapped up with sin, listen to the truth tonight. This life is not all there is to it. There's an eternity. You're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And the thing that makes the difference is your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's not of works. It's not anything we do. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I can't think of a better time than this time right now to just come and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Nobody has to convince me of that. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that preacher when he says the wages of sin is death. I also believe him when he says that this book says that if I'd ask Jesus to save me, He'd save me. And again, tonight, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I am asking you to claim John 1:12, where it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Would you receive Him tonight if you've never done it? Would you just come in childlike faith, ask Jesus to save you? He will. He will. Most of us are Christians tonight. Again, I hope you leave this place rejoicing what God is doing in your life, rejoicing that He loves you so much that He gives us grace for grace. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of it. And I pray that we would pay heed to it tonight, that we would listen. Satan tries to get us to turn back, but as Kelly sang a moment ago, we wouldn't trade anything for our journey. And I pray, Father, You'd keep us on it. Keep our face toward truth. Keep us moving in that direction. Thank You for grace that keeps us moving in that direction. Bless the invitation. Again, Father, I pray if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would come and ask Him to save them. For the many Christians, speak to our hearts. If there's something we need to do, then tell us and help us to be obedient and to do it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.